Okay, so good morning everybody. I'm Rachel and I have the privilege of being a primary school teacher, which can have lots of highlights and lots of challenges as well. At the moment I teach year one, so they're about 5 and 6 years old, and then in January I'm going to move up to year five, which will be interesting. We'll see how that goes. So this morning I'm going to start off looking at a bit out of the Bible, and then I'll move on to sort of my experiences, really, of God's kingdom in the workplace. And I'm not saying I've got all the answers, because I definitely haven't, but it's just some of the ideas that I've had about it. Okay. So if we have a look at 1 John 4, verse 17, it talks about love being perfected among us, so that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I really love this verse, and actually I've kind of borrowed some ideas from Andy Elms. He was at the One event. He's done a book called Breakfast with Champions. That's like a daily devotional thing. Kirsty's nodding at me. It's good. There's quite a lot about golf in there, isn't there? But if you get over those bits, it's okay. I really love this verse, because it's knowing that through love and Jesus dying for us, we have that relationship with Jesus and with God. So on the day of judgment, we can have boldness. But also today and tomorrow and next week, we can have that boldness in the workplace or at the school gates or wherever we are, because God is in us. And Andy Elms presents two different ways of thinking about this. So there's the view that like God is up in heaven and we're like his people out on earth, or taking it on a slightly different view, we can see that his spirit is living inside of us. And so wherever we go, God is there too. So as we step through the doors of our workplaces, we know that we have that different spirit, because we've got God living within us, which I think is just really exciting. That's really good. And I found that actually that's something that people comment on in my teaching and where I work as well. Most of the time, I'm quite calm and cheerful and caring, and that's something that TAs that I've worked with have picked up and said, like, you really care, don't you, Rachel? You're really calm, and I can see how that changes the atmosphere in the classroom, and that's just such an encouragement to know that through just being who I am and knowing that God is in me, I can make that impact. So, yeah. Here's something for you to think about. Who is watching you? As we go through our daily lives, what kind of people might be watching you? It might be at work, or it might be out in the community, when you're in Morrison's, you never know. And how can people really get to know what Jesus is like? And they might base their knowledge of Jesus either on what is portrayed in the media, or maybe on past experiences that they've had. But I think a really key way that we can influence people's thinking about Jesus and about God is through them watching us, and what our gut reaction is to situations, how we respond to difficulties, and when the phone call comes to say Ofsted's coming, like how we respond to that can be a way of being Jesus in these situations. Okay, so it says in the Bible that he is the head and we are the body of Christ. And then Andy Elms gives an image of not being like Frankenstein, so not making having Jesus as a head that's completely different from the rest of the body, and that actually we need to make sure that we are walking in step with Jesus, that our lives are reflecting his glory and how he would live in different situations, which I think is a massive challenge, but it's a way of showing God and sharing God with those around us. Okay, so this is a challenge that I read again from Andy Elms, and it just made me think, Do people who meet us have the same experience as people did when they met Jesus on the streets of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago? And I think I'll just leave you to ponder that one. And can we make our lives look, sound and feel more like Jesus? So what I'm going to do now is just think about that question a bit more and unpick it a bit, really based on my experiences of schools and from chatting with different Christians who work in school settings, and kind of trying to answer that question a bit in terms of that. So, schools aren't always the easiest of places to work. On the outside, they might be full of cheery children, and you think, oh, teachers get really long holidays, and that's brilliant. But there's lots and lots of pressures as well then. From things ranging from the government changes to pressures from Ofsted coming in and lesson observations and performance-related pay and all that kind of thing. And then also I was chatting with John this morning, and he was talking about the pressure on teachers now to teach same-sex marriage within schools, and how some teachers have actually are on the point of losing their jobs because they're refusing to do it. And I think, you know, there's real poignant issues that are facing teachers at the moment. So I think the way, you know, balancing all those demands and issues and worries with the challenge of making our lives look and sound and feel more like Jesus, there's a couple of points of addressing it. And one is through encouragement and encouraging each other. It says again in 1 John 4, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And I love that imagery that through loving one another, people can see God in that. I think that's definitely something that I've experienced through support from the life group in church and their prayer support, and through chatting with different teachers and with John and with Martin, is always there to pray for me if I've got an observation, which is great. And just knowing you've got that support behind you, people who understand where you're coming from, is really good. My next point is like praying for wisdom, because we all face situations where we're not necessarily sure of what the best thing is to do, but just praying and pushing into God and asking for his perspective and his direction in those circumstances, in those situations. And then finally, like trusting in God, because it's a bit of a roller coaster ride working in schools, I think. And it's just trusting in God and knowing that he knows the bigger picture of what's going on for the school and also for yourself as well. And I've had quite a few times recently where I've not known exactly where I was going to be working, and I quite like to be organised and know where I'm going. So being in a situation where I don't know where I'll be working in a few months down the line is not always the easiest place to be. But I think through that journey, I've kind of learnt to trust God through that as well. And in a way, that's kind of shown God's kingdom in the workplace too, because I've been able to say to people, I'm not sure where I'll be, but I know it'll be okay. And that's been really good. Yeah. So that's a few of my thoughts.
So let's hold those thoughts for a moment. Johnny's going to speak to us, and then we'll find the best way to respond afterwards.
Hello. Bonjour. That was brilliant, I thought. Teaching to me is just an impossible task. I know I certainly couldn't do it. I struggle with three kids of my own, let alone somebody else's. And I think a lot of what Rachel said is also applicable in most of our workplaces in terms of how we're salt and light to those who see us. And so it's always being careful, reacting and responding accordingly. I'm going to talk a little bit about business. I'm certainly not an expert in this area. I've only been self-employed now for about 9 months, but I have spent 9 years prior to that in a commercial banking role. So I've been working with self-employed people for quite a bit of time. Some of the things I'm going to say this morning will probably not resonate with you particularly. That's not necessarily because I'm right and you're wrong, or that you're right and I'm wrong. It's just that I see myself as a wannabe entrepreneur, and I think sometimes we can tend to think and see things slightly differently to other people. So it's hopefully I won't offend anybody, but I don't always see things the same as perhaps other people do. So we'll see what we can do. I'm going to look at three areas briefly. Firstly, what challenges a self-employed person might face. Jesus and business, and then business and the church, and see if we can find some help in that. HMRC defines self-employed people as someone who runs your own business and takes responsibility for its success or failure, have several customers at the same time, can decide how, when and where you do your work, are free to hire other people to do work for you, or help you at your own expense, or provide the main item equipment to do your work. So that's basically what HMRC defines a self-employed person as. I want to look at what motivates somebody to become self-employed. I think there are probably three key motivators, and if you're self-employed, you might have got a different idea on this, but one's flexibility. You might have a skill in a certain sector which is applicable, which works well as being self-employed, or financial. I haven't got any skills. I like flexibility, so I'm motivated by financials. I do have to be careful with this, though, because it does say in the Bible, in 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 and 10, people who long to be rich fall into temptation and trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So that's not ideal when you're money motivated like me. But it's just getting the right balance there. I don't think money's not a bad thing. Dwayne White said something once. He said, money doesn't make someone do evil things. It just enables the holder of the money to do more of what they would have done. He says, money is not immoral, it's amoral. It takes on the behaviour of its owner. So the same £100 can be used to give into the Kirkby Food Bank to do some real good stuff, or it can be spent on excessive alcohol or drugs and that sort of thing. So it's down to what the person who has the money does with it. It's not the money itself that's the wrong thing. And the first issue that self-employed people can face is the way people look at what they do with their wealth, almost. Thankfully, I've not got this problem at the minute. Hopefully, one day it's a challenge I'll face. Richard Branson, he's got a net worth of £3.4 billion, and he's got a diverse range of companies, the latest being Virgin Galactic. If you're interested in a trip into space, it'll cost you £200,000, and he's got a 500-seater spaceship ready to go fairly shortly. I had a bit of think about this, though, but what would happen if Richard Branson, I'm not saying he's not a Christian, I don't know him that well, Richard Branson became a Christian and suddenly started coming into our church, how would that affect the church? Any ideas? Anyone want to have a little chat amongst yourselves for a second on what you... So Richard Branson coming to the church might give us a new building. I mean that's a good point, actually, because I mean, my thinking is, though, really, if Richard Branson joined the church and we got a new building, it'd be great. But God is bigger than Richard Branson. He's got a bigger wallet than Richard Branson. So therefore, if we believe God has got a new building in store for us, we don't have to wait for Richard Branson. Ooh, what a good one to say. Dwayne White said this. He said, God doesn't have a problem with Mercedes living as long as it comes with Mercedes giving. So it's... we've got to be careful with all these things, I know. But there's also a guy in a church in... Riverside, who's got quite a bit of cash, and what he does with his business is he invests 10% of his profits into Links International on an annual basis. Links International is the organisation that does all the mission trips that we know quite a bit about, And he's got a real strong partnership with Links International, and people in his company, Christians and non-Christians, go on projects and do all sorts of things out in the third world, which they're able to do because his company and the way he decides to spend the profits of his company. So you can do some good things with these things. It'd be a mistake for me at this point not to tell you a little bit about my companies. I've, like Richard Branson, got a diverse portfolio of businesses. His make a bit more money than mine. Some of this stuff, some of the screens and the projectors and stuff are owned by one of my companies, and that's one of the things that we work with the church in to kind of benefit both of us. There's various other bouncy castles and bits and bobs. If you ever want to hire a bouncy castle, give me a shout. Do you a good deal. Driver Hire is my main business. That's a recruitment business. That's a franchise. And that's what I started in January this year when I left the bank. Hello. So basically what I'm saying is that I believe I've been called into business. I think some people are called into business to generate wealth for the kingdom. And it's an interesting position to be in, and it's not one that's right for everybody. But for those who are called into that kind of role, I think it's a key part of the world that we need to be accessing and being involved with. Secondly, if God is the creator and God lives in us, does that mean we are creative? I would have thought so. So when that relates to wealth, it's in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, it says, "If you remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is continually giving you the power to create wealth." I believe that God is creative, and therefore the 50 ideas I have before breakfast about new businesses, some of them have got to be from God. So Kirsty would disagree. But, I'm currently working on a great idea for a marquee hire business, if anyone wants to get involved with that one. Okay. No? Okay. It's a good opportunity, honestly. I mean, I've known for years that I wanted to be in business. I don't really know why, but that's what resonated with my spirit. I had prophetic words about it and all sorts of things. And God, what God did is, this was about 15 years ago, I decided I wanted to be in business and become a multimillionaire. It didn't really happen that quickly, and it's still not there yet. But God, I can see now that God put me in certain positions to take me along my track. I spent 9 years with Yorkshire Bank until they decided to get rid of me. And through that time, there's numerous occasions where God promoted me when he needed to put me into a new role to learn new things. There was one time I went for loads of jobs. I get quite twitchy and I get bored in certain jobs. So I used to have a policy: after 12 months, I used to change jobs, or it just seemed to happen that way, or get promoted or something like that. So I was applying for loads of jobs in the bank, and for the next role up from mine, and I wasn't getting any of them. And people who I thought had less experience or whatever in the jobs were getting these jobs, and it was quite frustrating to me. Until one day my boss came up to me and said, can I have a word with you tomorrow at 10 o'clock or whatever? I said, okay, fine. And at that night I was thinking about it, and I thought, yeah, he's gonna offer me something tomorrow. And I almost had the job mapped out that he was going to offer me, that God had just kind of given to me. And so I sat down in this meeting the next day, and he basically told me exactly what God had told me the night before, that he was going to offer me. I nearly let it slip that I was a Christian at that point, but thankfully I didn't. That was a joke. That was a joke, obviously. But I didn't say, oh yeah, I knew you were going to offer me that because God told me last night. I didn't think it was quite appropriate. Maybe I should have done. Maybe I would do now. But anyway, and then I came in this job then. He gave me this job, and it was brilliant. It was perfect, and it was a lot of experience. And the people I met in that job 5 years ago are now people I'm working with in my business now. And a couple of years later, just shortly before, a couple of years later, I got promoted again into another role, which my boss again made happen. And then once I was in this role, a month later, everyone who was doing my previous role got displaced, and they reduced numbers from about, I don't know, 50 down to about 10. So I would have probably been out of a job had had God not moved me into that role at the time. So God has had a hand on my career, even though I wanted to be in my own business years ago. It's taken God kind of a bit longer, but through the training and everything I've was learning through that time, God really kind of set me up for what I'm doing now, which I'm truly grateful for. And then it even took Yorkshire Bank helped me again by offering me some redundancy this time last year, which I took, which then enabled me to set up this new business. So it's all going well so far. There's people who are in business at the minute who are probably just one idea, one relationship, one client or one business away from financial freedom. I don't think self-employed people are called to be are called necessarily to work 60 hours a week and always worrying about money. I think self-employed people, with the help of God and creativity, God's creativity, are due to prosper. They're expected to prosper, which is what I believe should be happening. There's just a little thing here which I'll throw in, but there are three levels of income, and this relates to kind of self-employed people and employed people. But level one is when you work for money. Employed people and self-employed people can both do this. It's when you do something and you get paid to do it. So you do some work and you get paid for it. Level two is when money works for you. This can include investments and property, etc. And level three is when money works without you. And this is when you put systems in place to change your level one income into level three income. And this is really when self-employed people really can do what they want to do and generate wealth for the kingdom. I want to talk a little briefly now about Jesus and business. In Luke 5, when Jesus is going to call the disciples, it just says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them there as they were washing their nets. Stepping to one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. Most people in self-employed can relate to that. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. I mean, I love this passage. It's great because it's when Jesus calls the disciples and he calls them to be fishers of men rather than fishermen themselves. But there's also the parallels here about provision and plenty and resourcing. Jesus asked Simon Peter to for help, and he could use his business to help in that area. And then because Simon helped him, Jesus kind of took him to the took him out into the water and gave him a huge catch. And that was provision and resourcing. There was partnership in there, in the other boats, helping each other. So I love that bit there. I think in business, it's important that we invite Jesus to kind of get into our boats with us, listen to what he's asking us to do, even if it sounds a bit strange. I think we need to keep our minds open to what God's saying. Trust him when he says something, even when it doesn't really quite fit in with what our thoughts might do. Paul Milligan, who's a Christian businessman in America, said we need to do everything in the natural, all our abilities and skills and gifts that God's given us in the natural to do, and then allow God to add his super to that natural when it happens. My personal experience, I've had a good last 9 months. It's been interesting. There have been times when I've had to pay a big bill at the end of the week, and I've had to trust God that the money I'm expecting to come in is coming, which up to date it has done. So I'm really grateful for all that. It can be quite a stressful time being self-employed. A lot of it I found is from cash flow. You might be making money left, right and centre, but if the money's not coming in, you can't put food on the table or pay your bills. Also, God's blessed me with we had a meeting with Phil Marshall, the chief executive of Ashford District Council. Totally unrelated about this, but I walked out the room with £6,000 worth of grants. So I think God does give us appointments and meetings where he can bless us in that way. My current business also helps other people. In recruitment, there's a guy from a church in Blidworth, who is a driver, and from various connections he got connected with me, and now I'm helping to provide him an income which he didn't have before, so we're helping others there as well. Finally, we'll have a quick look at business and the church. I believe a lot of the other stuff that I've just mentioned there is equally valid in the church situation. We talked about the building briefly. I believe that God has ways of financing stuff in the church outside of the just the tithing and the thermometer on the side of the building, a new roof fund thermometer. I think God's adding creativity into the mix as well. I mean, if you take a church of 1,000 people, assuming that each member tithes £1,000, this gives the church a turnover of £1 million. And that's quite a business. That's quite a big business. And then there's all the business stuff that goes with that as well, I think. I think in church as well as business, we have a tendency, if we're not careful, to limit God by what we're thinking and therefore how we operate. If we ignored money and had a blank piece of paper and asked God, well, what do you want us to do? I think it would just gives him the scope to kind of allow us to think big. Norman Barnes once said to me, he said, what God orders, he pays for. So I think we just need to allow God to, with his big checkbook, tell us what he wants to do. In summary, God's a creative God. So in business and in church and our lives, we just need to think creatively, not to limit God with our own understanding or risk profile sometimes. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. In business, we need to ask Jesus into our boat, trust him for the provision, do everything we can in the natural with our God-given skills and abilities, but allow him to step in when he wants to. Amen.